From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Popbrad. On a gloriously sunny day, and the miserable swines are cutting the grass. I suffer from AV. Thank you very much. My name's Eric Wiltshire. At the base of the lovely Tatry Mountains, still got a little bit of snow on the top. They do look pretty. And this is Postcard from Popbrad. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, that's the place called the what's it called? Great Britain. That's the place. It's Lee Banks.
There's nothing great about Britain.
Oh, sorry, I'm saying hello, aren't I? Sorry, everybody. Yeah, no, it's wonderful to be here again, ladies and gentlemen, in this wonderful land called Britain.
Yeah, right. And a lady who's upset me just before we came on air, so I've now got to change all of my paperwork again after doing it so many times this week. I'm going to just... is Rachel Brunston.
Hello, everybody. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, you sound it. Yeah, marvellous. Absolutely.
I had it specifically engineered so that this would occur.
Yeah, on this week. Thank you very much.
Yes.
They had to change a couple of logos.
Oh, shush. Anyway, hi to everybody at Talk Radio X, Breeze, Replay, RTI, and everywhere else as well. You'll find them all on a new website we put together, and wherever you want to be, you can tune into us. This is your sideways alternative look at the news. Very alternative, often. Anyway, I was going to say hello to somebody and I've forgotten who it was now, damn. Anyway, sad news to start off with.
Yes.
Bill Pertwee. Not to be confused with John Pertwee, as somebody did.
That was
his brother.
Was that his brother? Well, his son's called John as well.
Is it? He was Doctor Who. Bill Pertwee was famously in Dad's Army, which, if you don't like it, go to the vets. That's all I can say to you. It's a good old-fashioned comedy set in World War II, and Bill Pertwee was the kind of... he was a bit of a numpty in that role, it has to be said, but he thought he was very important. But he didn't, and he wasn't. But there you go.
It was what was described as a common little man.
Well, I think he was a grumpy old man, actually.
I'm just saying what he's written down in his script. It says he's a common little man. I think that's a bit rude to say about a bloke when he's just died.
It's even in
somebody
quotes.
Somebody's been your life since you were born.
No, he was a brilliant character actor.
He was a brilliant character actor. He looked a bit funny. But was he the one who played that scarecrow?
No.
No, that was
his brother.
That was John. That was my flub as well.
Yes.
John's his son.
John Pertwee played Doctor Who, and he played Wurzel Gummidge.
Who's this dad, Bill Pertwee, then?
Bill Pertwee played the air raid warden in Dad's Army.
Oh, the boring one, the common little man. I remember him now.
Who wandered around with his...
You can understand our confusion, ladies and gentlemen.
You can indeed. Anyway, great character actor will be... I'm sure his programming will make people laugh for donkey's years to come. And thanks very much, John, for all great time you gave us.
Bill.
It was just funny, and I've...
He wasn't funny.
It was.
He wasn't funny. The rest of the show was funny. He wasn't funny. He was just an ordinary little man.
He was a stooge.
He was what, Scrooge?
Stooge.
Oh, I thought you said he was huge.
No, stewed. For goodness sake. And stop getting... And the other thing is, boys and girls, he's showing off this week. He's got a new microphone. And stop getting too close. Stop getting too close to it, Lee.
I'm practicing. How's this?
That'll do. Quieter is better. Quieter is better. About 4 metres away would be good.
In another country.
Go in your garage. You know the rules.
Yeah, that's the one. Good news from Gloucestershire. A missing boy of 7 has been found safe after going missing from a campsite. I think that's just lovely. The funny thing is, didn't get much of a story out of that one in the press for some bizarre reason. But this little boy was...
He wasn't missing that long. And it was one of those things that, you know, you tend to keep an eye on and see what's going to happen. But, it's brilliant. He's been found.
Yeah,
the Cotswolds he was casting. That's incredible.
Yeah, I know. It's good that he's all back together again. And it reminds me of... Do you remember that time when that little boy got lost here, Lee?
No, I don't think I do. Remind me and I'll see if I do.
He was with his family up on the mountains in the Tatras.
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah, and he went missing overnight. It's really good, Rach. And in actual fact, it was one of the programs that came out of Oz that was on Discovery Channel that he mentioned. And he got lost, got completely separated from his family, and he, by accident, stumbled across a river. Well, a small little streamy thing. And he remembered from this program, if you're high up and you walk alongside the little stream, it'll become a river and eventually you'll get to a town. Mm. And that's what he did.
And the next clever lad.
And the next day, he was out all night on his own. And don't forget, there's bears up there and all sorts. But he carried on wandering down, and eventually he was found in a little village on the way down from the mountains, which was wonderful. We like that.
That is good. We like those stories.
Yeah, we do indeed.
It's a particularly petrifying time in Britain to lose your child, though, isn't it?
Oh, at the moment it is, yeah. Moving directly onto that. A man has been jailed for really, really life for a change, not the typical life that's given out in the UK. Lee, you've been following this one, haven't you?
Well, I think everybody in Britain has, actually, yeah. It's been just an horrific story and just filled with a fabric of lies. And what really is most horrific about it is that nobody can actually find the body of the young girl who has been murdered. Carl Bridger, the man who's been jailed for her murder, says that he didn't do it on purpose. He knocked the girl over while she was out on a bike. He hid the body in a panic, and they can't remember where it is. Well, if anybody believed that, anybody.
I don't buy that at all,
right? Yeah. But it's what he's actually done is really horrendous. It's as bad as the things that Myra Hindley and Ian Brady.
I was going to say, this is almost a copycat of the Ripper thing, isn't it?
It's funny, you know. I'm a bit of a pop psychology person, but forensic psychology has always fascinated me, and I do watch a lot of the Crime Channel, probably too much, actually. But I watch a lot of the Crime Channel, and it's this whole I knocked her over on her bike thing is not new.
No, it's not.
And the other thing that I agree with you, Lee. One of the most horrific, and there are plenty of horrific circumstances in this particular story. But the fact that they can't find her remains, so that the family are able to put her to rest somewhere, will forever haunt them.
There's just no closure, is there?
No, there is. I wasn't involved with the Hindley and Brady case, obviously, because of it was in the 60s. But on the follow-up to that, when I was working at the Daily Express, one of the children's mothers actually worked in the canteen at the Daily Express. She'd been put in there deliberately by the newspaper, so she, you know, it was the equivalent to buying her up, so we'd always got her there.
Yeah.
And apart from the obvious horror of what had happened to her daughter, the fact that nobody would reveal, and deliberately would not reveal, Myra Hindley or Ian Brady would not tell her where they buried him.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyed her. She became alcoholic. She it just destroyed the world. Mm. And that is probably one of the most evil things you can do.
Yeah, probably.
Well, really, they're in a position of no power. They've been jailed, and they keep that as their last hold of power of something in the situation, because that's what it's all about. So, and it's just twisted and messed up in so many ways.
Indeed. Well, we send our love to the family, and you never know. You're like, one day maybe somebody will get into his brain and cut it out of him or something. Let's move on. Because Rachel's had a sad week this week. Her little laptop went bye.
There was a death in the family.
Yes.
And I think it just got sick of the way I treated it and committed suicide.
The lappy died.
Yes, it has died.
It is no longer operational lappy. It is.
No. In fact, it completed its final lappy.
It did. For it no longer perches on a perch. And I'm sure Rachel was just waiting for this to happen. I've got to say, before I even mention this story, I don't like it. Because
excuse me very much.
What?
I want to ask a question, personally, of you, Mr. Eric.
Yes.
You've just thought about Rachel's laptop dying. When mine died 3 weeks ago, yeah, that didn't warrant a mention on the show.
Well, because you just abuse it anyway.
I do not abuse it. There might be policemen listening to this.
I think it was my level of briftness.
Was it? Is that what it was? Anyway, everybody at home is wondering what the hell we're talking about. Microsoft have done a U-turn, which will see the return of the start button rolling out. Stop it. From Windows 8. And I have to say, the anoraks are ruining Windows 8. I don't like the start button. Never liked the start button. It's always a pain in the derriere. And the way Windows 8 works without one is just lovely.
You've got to be some sort of anorak if you can't use a start button on a computer. Even I can switch it on.
I hope you can. But anyway,
the lack of start button.
Yeah, the massive outcry from the anoraks or enthusiasts or freaks or call them what you will has resulted in Windows bringing back the start button, and I just don't see why.
Well, I don't see why we're doing this story. What's the start button got to do with anything? You press it to make it come on.
But there isn't one on Windows 8.
So you just flick it up like an iPad?
You just go...
No.
Yes, you do.
You can either... Depends what device you're on.
Yeah, it does. You can use your mouse if you're on a laptop, a conventional laptop, and you can go to the bottom left corner and you touch the thing and up comes all of your lovely programs with little pictures underneath them, and if you've got the news on there it comes up and tells you what the headlines are all automatically, and you don't have to flaff about going start programs list this that the other. He just
well, you do now.
Flaming stupid idea. But anyway, everybody wants it back, so I'm outvoted, and it means it's coming back. But the good news is I think the start button is only going to take you to the start window menu.
That's what I'm saying, so it's just the start. You want to switch your finger so you press start. Well, what a grand innovation that is. For the
apparently there's going to be a preview download of Windows 8.1 in June, with the final version before the end of the year. Both will be free of charge to existing Windows 8 users, which is rather good.
I hope you're all fascinated by that, ladies and gentlemen. That was news at the cutting edge.
That's news.
We've got to stop.
That was for Rach. It was for Rach.
That was for me, because
the computer's died. Sorry, Rach.
That's all right. I forgive you, as always.
No, what's my insensitivity?
Shut up, Banksy.
When I get my new laptop next week...
Going on as well.
It's going to have...
Well, tell
it's going to have Windows 8 on it, and I am not familiar with Windows 8.
It's
so
lovely. Rach is lovely. It's lovely, Rach.
I think I'll be okay with no start button.
I think you will be okay. This is going the wrong way. Cold shower time. Moving along to Las Vegas. What a numpty in Las Vegas. What an idiot. A man who has married his Canadian bride in Las Vegas while still married to a woman in England, has had his jail term reduced. Gary Floodgate got married in Las Vegas, and the silly beggars only put the pictures up on Facebook.
Well, I understand this, and obviously I have a vested interest in this story, as I'm going to get married in Las Vegas in about 10 days' time.
Exactly. Wow. Are you sure you're divorced, Joe?
Well, I was going to tell you about this, although I'll probably get told to shut up. But what I was going to say, this almost happened to us.
and to me particularly. Really? Because what you being a divorced man, like that's a badge of honour in the UK, isn't it? You've got to get divorced before you. It's like a rite of passage. Right. So I've done my rite of passage and I've become a free man from a marriage.
Right.
And that's about God knows how long ago, but at least 20 years ago.
Right.
So then when it comes to going to Las Vegas to get married to my young bride, I had to give details of when I actually got divorced. And it says, if you don't know the date of your divorce, this is what Las Vegas says here, if you do not know the date of your divorce, basically make it up. Well, you've got to give a rough idea of what it was.
Have a guess.
Yeah, well, I started to look. I phoned up all the courts, roughly, in Britain, where I thought roughly I might have been divorced. That was like the whole of Greater Manchester, Stockport, Cheshire, anywhere. I knew I got it all somewhere. And each one of them, like, told me that they hadn't got any record of my divorce.
Right.
So that made me start to think, I thought, oh, heck.
Oh, not another Ruick.
Yeah, another Ruick.
That's not.
Ruick.
Yeah.
What if I never actually managed to get divorced? What if I just got bored in the middle and didn't bother? So I nearly went across to Las Vegas under the same things as this. Anyway, guess what happened? We thought the only thing we could do is phone up my ex-wife. Or maybe she wasn't my ex-wife. That's what we had to find out.
Yeah.
Now, my daughter wouldn't phone her, and it's her mother.
Yeah.
Son wouldn't phone her, it was her mother. I wouldn't phone her, because I know the way she is. My mother wouldn't phone her. Nobody had phoned her. So Andrea phoned her.
Boy, she is keen.
She's brave.
Yeah, she is. And guess what? My lovely, lovely, lovely ex-wife, Conchetta, Conchetta Immacolata, Conchetta Immacolata Iacognani, Knee Banks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was so nice and so friendly. She told us where it had got divorced. She told us when the date was and sent us all the details and sorted it out. But I could have got...
Yeah, but don't forget, she does celebrate it.
I've got to
say it to her. Rachel, she celebrates the divorce every year. Still does.
Sure, she does. You know what I think happened to you, though, Eric, and Mr. Banks? I think what happened with this particular story and the whole Facebook kerfuffle...
Yeah.
Because... You know, the photographs were published and then, of course, you know, wife number one found out about it. I think the whole what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas thing, they may have thought they were in some sort of bubble.
Ah.
It says,
you
like...
know, in some sort of time lock.
Yeah. Could have been. But anyway, it just goes to show. Two golden rules in the world, boys and girls. Don't go on to a talk radio station and say you're having an affair. And number two, don't put pictures of when you got married on Facebook unless you're divorced. It's a simple...
Who said you were having an affair? Who said they were having an affair on a talk radio show?
Have you never listened to talk radio stations, Mr. Banks?
Oh, I thought you meant I'd said it. I'm just trying to work out. I was trying to remember if I was having an affair.
No.
You all get twisted around on you.
Yeah. Anyway, even with a bad week, we know why Rachel is so happy every week on this program. Because Australia is ranked the happiest developed nation again in the world.
Yay, we are happy, you know. And do you know why we're happy?
Go on, Rach.
We have a flourishing economy. We have, like, no real crime issues except for the odd murder here and there. And... We have high income levels, we have good health, we have good housing, we have good, you know, job prospects, and you live longer.
And you,
and
have,
you have spiders.
And snakes that can kill you.
And crocodiles.
Yeah, but I've never seen one in my whole life, a snake.
And kangaroos
ever.
That punch you on the nose.
And wallabies that eat your ankles.
Well, I'm about to move to Darwin, so we'll find out about the croc situation. Well,
they have duck-filled platypuses in Darwin, don't they?
They have them everywhere.
What, duck-filled platypuses?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Anyway, as we do the music from before, it's the countdown of the top countries in reverse order. At the bottom... The United Kingdom.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you.
No,
up one,
not.
It's Iceland. Above that, we've got the Netherlands, Denmark, the United States, Switzerland, Norway, into the top three. It's then Canada, Sweden,
And Australia at the top of the tree, where apparently 73% of Australians, that's 23 million people aged between 15 and 64, have a paid job above the average.
Whoa. Well,
isn't it true that it costs you £17 for a packet of cigarettes in Australia?
25 Australian dollars for a packet of...
About right.
About 20 for a packet of... $20 for a packet of 30, I reckon.
Hang on, run that by me again slowly.
$20.
$20?
$20 Australian dollars for
that's
a packet
50.
Of 30.
Quid.
Hang on, that's...
Very expensive.
That's nearly 20 euros.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's 17 quid.
Rach.
It's heavily taxed.
Rach.
You should want to use beers.
Rach, send Rob over here on holiday. I only pay 3
euros. You'll die.
He would. I only pay 3 euros. And we're not supposed to be talking about fags anyway. Has there been a hard drive? There has been one hard drive malfunction in that part of Australia this week. That was Rach. Mm. But have we got another hard drive malfunction? As some plonker, formerly an IT specialist, claims to be Jesus reborn and lives with Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's wrong with Mary Magdalene?
God.
But do you know where they live?
Just
they
down
live
the
in a place called Kingaroy, which is about 2.5 hours drive north of Brisbane.
Right.
And yeah. It is now take careful note.
Right.
Its claim to fame is this. It is the peanut capital of Australia.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. So all the big nuts are in this area.
Right.
Not the little nuts.
One of the previous nut, who was most famous from this particular part of the world, was a state premier. His name was Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen, because he was Sird. And he was a right wing nutter. So he was crazy, but he gave really great soundbite. So he was awesome. We loved him, but like George W. Bush, sort of stupid, but also a bumbling fool and various other, crazy stuff. But yes, this part of the world clearly has something in its water, because this is nutty as nutty can be. This is beyond peanut.
Well, I'm not going to call him his preferred name of now. I'm going to call him AJ. Reckons that he's resurrected Lazarus.
Yep.
And then I have to say, gutted when there was a young lady on there who'd left her family, given up her work, everything, just to go and live in the same area as this man.
And she was a neuroscientist. She should have been able to reason herself out of doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, really. She should have been able to debunk her own,
exactly.
Funky town.
I'm so nervous of any of these cults, and what makes it even worse, he makes all of his money by selling DVDs on the internet. And without mentioning other names, Lee and I know how dangerous that is when nutters do that.
I just don't answer what you mean. You're a terrible, terrible man, but you're quite right.
If he's an IT guy, and he's so clearly he knows his way around a computer, I reckon he might have just played World of Warcraft for a month straight, and now he's just gone into the vortex.
Are you thinking that he's got his hands on one of these virtual reality crash hats and put that on as well?
I really do think he has. He's clearly the cheese has slipped off the cracker.
There is a serious point to it, though, isn't it? Because he does have a lot of followers. He has a lot of followers, and people like this tend to play on the weakness and on the people who are fractured and broken by the lives, and suck them in and take all the money off them. And then quite often, as we've seen in Waco and all sorts of places in America and in the UK, they commit some horrendous crime against humanity. It's awful, awful.
Yeah. And I can't, it beggars belief, this guy, who he does look like, there was a guy in England who used to try and protect trees by living in potholes underneath them and climbing up them. Stumpy, that was the bloke. He was called Stumpy.
It was only a little man, Rachel.
Clearly.
Yeah. And there's this guy called George Hamill, who looks like Stumpy, if anybody ever remembers seeing him. And he's left his business and his wife in California to be near this guy, AJ, and, follow his every word.
And yeah. I'm looking at him, I'm going, are you sure? And what business were you running, for goodness sake?
Right. Bamboozled.
Yeah, very. Anyway, last story of part one as we rush into part two in a couple of minutes. The Eurozone unemployment reaches new high levels in April.
Uh-oh. Well, I rest my case over the last 6 months.
Why?
That's exactly what we've been saying. The Eurozone is really collapsing, and there ain't a lot we can do about it. And the way this is going, we need to start to look at a new way of operating this world. This is like your car breaking down outside your house, and you deciding, well, it'll still tick over a little bit, so I'll just keep carrying on until it collapses completely. That's what we're doing in the Eurozone. We're trying to resurrect and use an old system that's collapsed around our ears.
Part of that I will agree with you, Lee, because one of the big areas of unemployment is the youth unemployment. It's a huge problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the trouble is that when I first started off, and I got chastised by a company, I went from one company to another one. I started off with typical what are called city and guilds certification, and that kind of thing in my day, I remember, was not good. Yeah, everybody said you had to have a degree. And so when I went to another company, I did actually sit an adult course and got a degree.
Yeah.
The trouble is vocational studies are actually far more important than necessarily a degree. A degree does prove that you can sit and learn something. Fair enough. Yeah. But, you know, if you take a degree in photography, do you know there's more people in England taking photography degrees than there are jobs in the whole of Europe? And that's fact.
Right. Absolutely, 100% right. Can I just say very quickly on this, because I was reading something in the Guardian this week about vocational training. Mm. And what it was saying, I think this is 100% true, is that if you go for a degree, anybody, every man, woman, child and dog can get a degree in Britain now. All they've got to do is be able to afford the fees. Mm. And they can go to university, and every man, child and dog should comes out totally qualified and looking for a job that doesn't exist. What Correct. The Guardian's saying is that people now should be looking more at vocational training, learning a trade, learning how to operate in the games industry, learning all these things. You don't need degrees. What you need is to know how to do the job.
Correct. That's probably why there's no degrees in being a radio broadcaster, you know.
None of us know how to do it.
Correct. but I seriously believe, and I'm message to employers, message to youngsters, if you want to get on, there is no shame in being a plumber. There's no shame.
Yeah, good money.
Of course there isn't.
No, there's no shame in being an electrician. You don't need a degree to do it. And you will
you earn lots of money.
And probably be less stressed as well.
Trades make the money in this country. All the tradespeople make all the money in this country.
Yeah, Australia is a perfect example where vocational training is ranked as equally as high as a university degree.
It
should be higher. It should be higher, particularly in an economy like this, where we're trying to rebuild the economy through building properties and that kind of thing.
And that's where we end part one of Postcards from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We'll be back in a couple of jicks.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.